In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So unless you have been on Mars for the last week, or perhaps spent your entire week looking at photographs from Mars, which are very, very cool, you know that this past week was the Republican National Convention. I didn't watch any of it. This has nothing to do with a lack of interest in politics, or Republicans, or Tampa, and everything to do with the fact that I was away on retreat in a group house in Cape May, where the only other guests were children from the youth chorale of Trinity Wall Street, who, as you might imagine, had other ideas about what to watch on the house's one television. So, on Friday morning, when I checked my news feed on Facebook and saw that multiple friends had posted something about Clint Eastwood talking to an empty chair, I was perplexed. I was also a little concerned that Clint maybe had gone off his rocker. But most of all, I was curious. So I went online, Googled Clint Eastwood empty chair, and easily found his speech. In case you missed the excitement, Clint Eastwood did, in fact, spend a considerable chunk of his allotted time in front of the GOP faithful talking to an empty chair. But rest assured, he has not gone off his rocker. No, Clint was pretending that President Obama was sitting in the empty chair. He asked the president questions. He pretended that the president answered him. Mostly, he played to the crowd, making jokes at the president's expense with the kind of biting sarcasm and mockery that Americans of both parties have somehow decided is appropriate for our nation's political discourse. The empty chair was actually the perfect convention speech tool because it allowed Mr. Eastwood to be in complete control of the conversation, to ask questions and hear only the answers he wanted, to set up the laughs he wanted, to stir up the applause he wanted, to get in all of the digs that he wanted. Talking to an empty chair was a strangely effective kind of stunt. It wasn't a real conversation, and it might have made him look a little foolish, but it accomplished his purpose, and that's really all that matters. Unfortunately, this is exactly what a lot of the world thinks we Christians are doing a lot of the time. They think that we gather here today on this first day of the week to gather around an empty throne and talk to an empty chair. Critics like Richard Dawkins and the late Christopher Hitchens have written volumes trying to prove that there is no God, that religion is a massive social delusion, that the chair is demonstrably empty. The young unchurched in this country smartly ask why, if there actually is someone, capital S, in the chair, we religious folks who are asking the questions all end up with such wildly different and aggressively competing answers. The outcast, particularly those who have been cast out, judged, and abused by the church, look at the chair and hope that it's empty, because they don't want to even imagine that the someone in the chair might reject them because they're gay, or because they use birth control, or because they aren't an American citizen, or because they smell, or because they have AIDS, or have doubts. The world looks at us at worship or prayer and sees us talking to an empty chair, imagines us carrying on conversations all alone, asking and answering our own questions to make ourselves feel better, or to show how holy we are, or to try to help our neighbors be more lovable by remaking them in our own image. This isn't a real conversation, they say. It makes you look foolish, and it might accomplish your purposes, but that actually doesn't matter at all to us. What's worse is that sometimes we in the church act ourselves like we're talking to an empty chair. Church leaders look with woe at parishes that are dying, if not dead. They count and recount our shrinking national average Sunday attendance figures on our parish and diocesan budgets, and then imagine that the chair must be empty, at least temporarily. We in the church sometimes look at the throne of God and see nothing but an empty seat. We have a hard time imagining a conversation where God might be able to do something new. And so we start talking to ourselves about which churches to close or which positions to eliminate or which liturgies to cut or shorten or update or make relevant. We start responding to our own questions with answers based in fear and an overwhelming sense of scarcity. And it isn't just church leaders who do this. How often do you and I worry that we're talking to an empty chair? We pray, and then we forget to listen. Or we conjure up our own answers because we tire of listening for God's. Or worse, we look at the empty chair, and then we just don't even bother to pray at all. No wonder the world looks in on us and wonders if we've gone off our rocker. This isn't a new phenomenon, of course. The Israelites who followed Moses into the wilderness had gone off their rocker fairly regularly in their 40 years of wandering. They moaned and complained for most of the journey, mostly moaning and complaining that they thought their God had left them alone. When Moses went up the mountain, they looked around their campsite and saw only a big empty chair, and so they happily set about filling it with a golden calf. They doubted and feared and rejected God. They imagined that there was no one around to listen to them. And so they got to work answering their own questions in God's seeming absence. But now, Moses says to them, you are here. You are standing on the edge of promise, looking into the land that flows with milk and honey, the land that God has always said he would give to you and to your children. And now that you are here, you are to keep God's commandments and teach them to your children and to your children's children. And why is this so important? Because keeping the commandments of God helps you to remember that God is near. God has given you all of these commandments, not only because they will help you live well in this holy land, but because they will remind you of God's closeness every minute of every day, so that every time you say, thank you, or bless this, or help me, you will be reminded of God right beside you. The commandments are given to you not as rules to follow in God's absence, but as triggers to remind you of God's presence. And when you live these commandments out, you will be so steeped in the presence of God that when other people look at you, they will say, what a fabulous bunch of people. I want to be just like them. And they will say this because when they see you, they will see that there is, in fact, someone, capital S, sitting in the chair. What a gift to give to this broken world. What a wonderful, timely, desperately needed gift to offer the world by our own following of the commandments and by our own remembering of who gave them to us. A daily reminder that God is near. Isn't that ultimately what the world most needs to hear? What the world most needs to remember? Don't we want to help the world and the church to see that the chair is full, that God sits on his holy throne, that the hem of his garment fills the temple? Isn't that what we are sent to bear witness to? Not that we're Christians and we have it all together, or we're Christians and so we can tell you exactly how to live your life, or we're Christians and so watch us be extra holy, but we're Christians and our God is near. Our God reigns. When we pray to a God who is and who ever shall be. When we ask questions, God answers. Maybe not when or how we imagine, but our God is a God who responds. We speak and sing and cry and shout and moan and weep to a God who is very, very near us. So close to us, it's just like he's sitting in the chair next to you. It's just like he's sitting in your own heart. And so here we stand, looking out over a new land, over the new program year at St. Mark's, over the new school year, over the new political year. So now, you people, give heed to the great commandments that God has provided for you. Be doers of the word. Care for the widows and orphans. Love one another as Christ has loved you. Keep these commandments always and teach them to your children. Keep these commandments so that you will remember who you are and whose you are. Live in this holy way so that when the world looks at you, they will see the truth that God is very near, that God reigns, and that the chair is full. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.